Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. And we're officially done with any sort of under 18 football. The last game was on the weekend where the under 17 futures played before the AFL grand final. Before we get into that, what were your thoughts on the actual AFL grand final?
Yeah, Brisbane were just far too good, weren't they? They turned up and probably played their best game of the year on the day that Sydney played their worst game of the year. It was good to see 2023 draft cohort representative Logan Morris kick a couple of goals and have a say on the game. 19 games he's played this year, so a great start to his career.
And Will Ashcroft, Norm Smith, were you backing that? Oh, I said before it got announced, I was like, surely Ashcroft's a good shout here.
I think the romanticism of the story certainly helped him. I thought Lachie Neale was the best player on the day, but I thought that Ashcroft was certainly there or thereabouts. So, yeah, no issues with him winning it, and that's certainly a positive for Brisbane fans with his younger brother coming along at the end of this year.
For sure. Well, let's get straight into the under-17 futures game. Now, Jonty, you saw this in depth. I saw a quarter, and unfortunately there was no replay that went up later in the week, which is a bit disappointing. The same happened with the AFLW futures game as well. But Team Heppel, they got up by 7 points. Kind of going to profile a couple of these kids. You're going to give a better analysis of how their games went and what stood out, what to keep an eye on for with them next year. But we'll start with Team Heppel and Tom Burdon. We know that class he brings, that dash off half back, and is that something he just translated straight into the game?
Yeah, he played with not a lot of fear. He was one who really took it on with his ball movement, plays with a lot of pace, and he had upwards of 25 disposals as well. So a really impressive performance and set up a lot of counter-attack for Team Heppel.
Sam Cumming, SA boy, who when I watched him in the Sandful under-18s this year, what caught my eye was just his power out of that stoppage. And he's a bit of an offensive threat as well, you know, and he occasionally hit the scoreboard. In terms of his game on the weekend, what stood out for you?
Yeah, for me, it was what he was able to do linking up with his teammates in the forward half. It felt like he was able to find space, but he was able to have really good vision going inside 50 and hit his kicks really well as well. It felt like every time he got the ball, it felt like he was going to be a scoring threat. And for me, he was probably the best player on Team Heppel. Obviously, that honour went to Josh Lindsay from the Geelong Falcons, but he's certainly one who wasn't overawed by the occasion.
I'll let you move now to Josh Lindsay. And we saw a bit of him at the back end of the Geelong Falcons season, but was this as big a statement game as what, you know, post-game would make the same?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was. I think it was a real statement game from Josh Lindsay. He only had the 20 disposals. There were others that had higher volume, but what really stood out to me was just his piercing kicking. He took it on with 45 kicks. He tried to use the corridor as much as he could, as did a lot of the players throughout the day. It is a day where you want to show off your weapons, but he was one where when he had the ball in his hands, more often than not, it came off, and his kicking efficiency was really high, and he was willing to take it on, and also a lot of composure off halfback as well. So he'll probably lead the way alongside Ben Rongdett for Geelong Falcons next year.
Where do you kind of think he sits around if you had to give just very early rankings or, I don't know, an indication?
Yeah,
where's he kind of sit at the
moment?
Feels
like a lot of people around Vic Country rate him quite highly. He played a pretty strong game in the under-17s trial at Werribee last month as well. I'd probably put him in the second round at this point.
Yep. And now Willem Dersmad, one who will be in that conversation pretty early on for that number one pick. And I guess if you had to summarise the back end of his year leading up to this game, I mean, he played the full year for Gippy as a bottom major. I personally don't know if I'm convinced he was number one, but I think it's just because the role he played was not as prolific for Gippy. I guess talk to me more about this game, though. Does he still sit firmly in that discussion?
He's in the discussion, yeah, but I would have a couple of others ahead of him at this stage. Having said that, I thought he finished off the game really well, so he played sort of around the ground a little bit and finished off in the midfield, and he was a big reason behind the tight finish, won some crucial clearances late in the game, and, looked really composed in that midfield mix. We know he's done it at Gippy, like you said, but it was his finish to the game that really impressed me, probably a little bit quieter to start the game, but has that skill set that he can read the play so well.
And then three more. I mean, these two were the top two on the day for disposals. I'll start with Dan Annable, who we saw quite a bit of for the Allies this year as a bottom major. the Lions Academy member and had a good day out with 27. His toughness is always at the fore of every stoppage, but what did he present on the day?
Yeah, it was just that cleanliness, ability to read the ball off the ruck's hands, get first hands on it, and then release teammates. Probably sneaks up on you that he got that many disposals, but he certainly made it count by feeding his outside players and, yeah, smart stoppage craft.
I mean, this Queensland side is stacked next year. It's probably, it's going to be an interesting talking point.
You have to think the Allies are going to be favourites for next year's.
Yeah, 100%. They'll definitely be up there. Ollie Greaves, we saw him play quite a lot of the season for Eastern. He's got that raw power. He played a lot of his time up forward for the Rangers, but you were talking about his work rate that stood out on the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. I think what's really impressive is players like that can often get away with just using their frame and using their size to bullock their way, win clearances, and then work rate isn't as important for those sorts of players. But he's got the size, he's got the power, he's got the speed, and he's able to use that at lots of stoppages because he gets to so many stoppages because of that work rate. So the fact that he can link up, get the uncontested footy, like you said, I think he had the 23 uncontested possessions, is really impressive. And then when he wins it in close as well, he's going inside to outside quite easily because of that power that he does possess. He played a really strong first quarter and a really strong last quarter.
And the last one for Team Heppel was Noah Chamberlain, Swans Academy product, who we saw quite a bit of this year. He as well had a role for the Allies, but talk to me about his performance.
Yeah, really composed, really smart, and I thought he made the right decisions on a day that there was high pressure.
Team Sloan, now start with Zeke Ulland, who I reckon a lot of people saw this. This went on the AFL's socials, that goal from 75 metres out, which was incredible. I think he polled very high for our champs voting as well as a bottom major this year. He's quite an elite talent in terms of his production. You know what you're going to expect from him, and he understands his role really well at such an age. So I guess, was it anything unique or different, or was it kind of what we've already seen this year, but, you know, just matching that level?
Yeah, I think it's what we've already seen, just taking it to new heights by doing it against the best in the country. Yeah, kicked a couple of goals, won lots of disposals, had that air of class about him. When he got the ball, you knew he was going to hit a target and make the right decision. A little bit like Sam Cumming for Team Heppel, when he got the ball forward of centre, it felt like something was going to happen.
Bo Adensoles played a bit of footy in the Suns VFL team. Good ball winner. What stood out for you with him?
Yeah, probably very similar to Dan Annable in a lot of ways. He's really good around stoppage, really clean, and is able to drive it out of there as well. Probably has a little bit more of that balance than maybe what Dan Annable has, where his game's a little bit more inside. But yeah, now Bo Adensoles, plenty of disposals, some clearances as well. And I thought that for a player who's played some Suns VFL this year and what his resume looks like, I think he's going to be one that will be at the top end next year. I'm looking forward to seeing how he develops.
Jack Dalton, fresh off a Sandy Premiership and kicks the first goal of the game, and pretty handy performance as well with 21 touches. He was equal third for leading possessions in the end for Team Sloan. I guess, what was his day like?
Yeah, again, probably what we're used to seeing from him, an outside player who links up. He works really hard on the outside, on the wings, and he was able to get back in defensive 50, win some possessions there, but then also, like you said, got on the end of one and set up some goals as well. I thought it was a typical performance from him, and always brings class when he's got the foot in his hand. Almost makes time slow down to some degree.
Sam Grealish is one who I've...
Yeah.
He's an interesting discussion, because I think I messaged you during the game. He has a lot of desirable traits. I think it's just a matter of putting it all together next year, adding some extra polish to his game, but he still performed quite well on the weekend.
I thought he started the game better than anyone. There was a lot of nerves in that first quarter around fundamentals, probably weren't as strong. I think the first 7 or 8 scores of the game were all behinds or outs on the full, whereas he was one that when he did get those moments in the first quarter and throughout the game, really clean. He works harder than anyone at Oakley is the word, and he was able to hit the ball at pace and use that real dash off halfback, set up the game, and he's going to be one to watch next year. I'm really excited by what he brings, because he's got a really sound base to work off, and he's got some good weapons as well.
Similar player who has very good traits, a lot of clutch traits, Noah Hibbins Hargreaves, who he was equal third as well with 21 touches, 5 inside 50s. So it was that work rate like for him, seemed like a good day out.
Yeah, the work rate was really good. That was a feature of his. I thought he got high up the ground when he needed to provide an uncontested option getting further up. But I thought what was really impressive, and we've probably talked about it a lot this year, but just the overhead marking, he's got that innate trait of being willing to put his arms up over his head. And, you know, if he's backing into a pack or whatever he has to do, he can take a contested mark despite his size and his frame. And I think he took a few of those grabs on the weekend. They're becoming trademark Noah Hibbins Hargreaves traits.
Riley Onley, he finished with 23 clearances out of stoppages, also finished with a goal to his name. He's put together a really good bottom age season.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go back to, you know, the number one discussion. I don't know if he sits as, you know, in the number one discussion, but he's definitely pushed his case this year.
Yeah, he'd have to be top 10 at absolute minimum. Yeah. I think just that power, there were two or three fend-offs on the day as well, so he breaks tackles so easily, and he was probably more of a moments player. I was interested when I saw the stats after the game that he finished with 23. I think that did sneak up on me a little bit, but there were five or six moments where you just go, yeah, wow, he's got a little bit of pace burning away. He's got that power as well, and he was really good and took some moments when he needed to.
Cooper Duff-Tytler is one that we've carried on about at times this year, and he has to be up there again in that number one discussion. Impacted with the hitouts, he had 17 in the end and two clearances, four inside 50s. I mean, to have a player of that height that impacts that well offensively, I don't know. I'm struggling to get him off my mind as that, you know, projected number one.
Yeah, very dexterous. And he was probably one that, in a similar boat to Onley, it felt like there were times where he didn't have much of an impact for 7 or 8 minutes, but then you do a couple of things in 2 or 3 minutes and you go, yeah, wow. So he really made his presence felt. And, yeah, around the contested footy, he just has that ability below his knees and to follow up like a few other keys do.
And then Liam Heatherton to finish. And I know you profiled him the other week. And
yeah,
good timing, really, came into this game and kicked 3 goals.
Yeah, it feels like he's one that in the back end of the year, there's not many that have been spoken about more because of how late he's come on and how quickly he's come on. But 3 goals, wouldn't have lost an aerial contest all day, was a real presence for them. Inside 50, I think for me, he was the second best on for Team Sloan with those 3 goals. I think he had 3 goals, 1 and a couple of direct assists as well. So a really impressive performance. And to have done what he's done this year, and I think I've said it before, but alongside Josh Murphy and the Whitlock twins who are marking forwards up at Murray, has been really impressive. And when he's the main man up there next year, I think it's going to be a scary proposition for opposition clubs to stop.
Certainly will be. And that wraps up, unless you want to give anyone else
I think the only other one's probably Dylan Patterson. Yeah. Really quick. He's from the Northern Academies as well. And his pressure on the day was probably better than anyone on a day where everyone was focused on what they were doing with the footy. What he did without the footy, I thought, was quite impressive. And Jack Eisen did a couple of nice things from Oakley as well.
Can I ask quickly about Dyson Sharp? Were you, because he's definitely going to be up there in that number one pick discussion.
Yeah.
And he had 7 clearances. I'll ask the question, what didn't make you talk about him right now?
Yeah, it's a fair question. He's probably the next one that should have been talked about. He showed his penetrating kick at times, and I thought the moments he had, he really took. But and I know he finished with more touches than I realised, but it did feel like there were pockets of the game where he was really quiet, wasn't able to make his impact felt. But I think a lot of his impact came in a really concentrated period, and either side of that, he was a little bit quieter, but still had some really good moments. And yeah, sets a high benchmark for himself. So maybe we expect a little bit too much at times, like you said, in that number one pick discussion.
All right, well, let's get into the draft combine preview. And this is this weekend from the 4th to the 6th of October. On the Friday, they're going to do their 2Ks. This is the boys and the girls doing it at the same time this year, which is great. And on the Saturday or Sunday, pretty sure it's the Sunday, they'll be doing all their usual fitness testing along with all their club interviews. But we're going to go through the boys and the girls, just kind of discuss who needs to test well and who may need to show just that extra element of their athleticism and things like that. I'll let you kick us off. You'll go through a few more of the Vic players. We'll have a discussion and I'll touch on some interstate players. We'll start with the boys first.
Yeah, okay. I'll start with Noah Mraz. He's going to be testing at the combine and I'm really interested to see how he goes. He's put on 9 kilos of muscle since he got injured earlier in the year, and athleticism's always been a trait of his. He wasn't able to show it this year because of his injury. he was playing through a navicular foot injury, which has then sidelined him for the rest of the year. But I'm really curious to see how he does test, if he still has that athleticism. Obviously, it's going to be hard for him coming off absolutely no footy, but he's had a little bit of time to lead up to it. So hopefully his vertical jump is quite sound, because that's probably what put him on the map last year, or certainly helped put his name on the map. So really curious to see how he goes. He's dealt with the injury really well and overcome the adversity quite well from all reports. So hopefully he can finish the year on something of a high on what's been mostly a disappointing campaign.
One I might ask about is Gab Stumpf, who we had this discussion. He's kind of at this, you know, weird point of the year where he's put together good football. The question is, does it translate? Did he do it enough?
Yep.
Does a day like Sunday offer him another opportunity to show something unique?
I think what he's got, when I was thinking of him compared to someone like a Tom Sims, who happens to be his teammate, is he's a little bit more athletic. I feel like his vertical would test better than what Tom Sims would. So I think him, Jobe Shanahan, and Alex Taru, as well as the Whitlock twins, all of them, I'm really curious to see how their vertical jump stacks up against each other, how high they can get. So, yeah, he's one that I'm curious to see how he goes.
I'm interested to see if any of the Whitlocks have grown, because, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to measure their height again. Silly question, but does that actually make a difference? You know, if a player comes away from this 3 centimetres taller than pre-season testing, because they don't update that data throughout the year. So does that all of a sudden...
And that's probably the one thing on the day that no one talks about in terms of coming into the day. Everyone's like, oh, you know, I need to test well in my 20-metre. I need to test well in my agility. But if you've grown, that is almost just as big a component. Obviously, it's out of your control as testing well. Some others that I'm looking forward to seeing. Cody Anderson has that deceptive speed. He's probably fallen out of sight and maybe out of mind touch from an external point of view recently, but he'll hopefully show that speed. I think he surprised a lot of people with it in preseason. Floyd Burmeister and Archer Day Wicks both base their games, very different games, but both have athleticism as a cornerstone of their game, so I think they'll want to test well as well.
I think a lot of the interstate boys as well will try and make an impact whilst they're there, and they'll definitely be competition. But I look to the likes of some WA kids like Jackson Artemis, who, if he's invited, he's clearly got some desirable traits. I look at that running. How can he showcase that and prove he's that extra touch above, you know, the Vic boys from an SA perspective, and Angus Clark? You know, what's he got in store? How can he kind of separate himself compared to those Vic boys? So I'm interested to see how those type of players test and what the actual, I don't know, general vibe of the day is like, just being there. And yeah, I guess seeing how competitive it really is, because I do think there's a lot more to it than it would really seem. Especially maybe not the top 20, but that bottom 40.
Yeah, it can certainly help. Some state combine invites I just want to quickly run through. Ollie Hannaford is someone that always tests well, seems to do everything well with the one percenters. So, yeah, I think his speed is very deceptive and will surprise a lot of people. He's run it in a 2.9 in preseason, I think, the 20-metre, so he'll be one to watch. Blake Lidler has the state-level athletics background, and he's sort of right on the cusp whether he gets picked or not, so he'll want to show that athletic base that he's got. Reak Andrews obviously got the athleticism in the back line for Dandenong. I think that vertical leap and agility will come through with him. Jet Haida looks like he's going to test, so that's really positive, a pacey midfielder from Sandy. And Sam Toner missed the back end for Dandenong, and I think it's really important he tests well, because clubs don't have a lot of data on him. They don't have a lot of vision to go off, because he's only played the few games with Dandenong, obviously played for Narre Warren as well, and impressed there in their seniors to start the year. But yeah, he's been training for a few weeks, so hopefully he can test well for his sake and really keep his name thereabouts in draft conversations.
Excited to see how someone like Asher Easton tests as well, because I feel like he's one of those who just kind of sits under that pack, but he's got as much potential as the rest. We'll move now on to the girls' draft combine. And I mean, actually, before we kind of move in, one more question with the boys. Was there anyone that surprised you who didn't get an invite, or one that, you know, might have got a state that should have got national? Was there anyone?
Oh, there's no...
Off the top of your head, if there's no one.
But there's no doubt that I've been really high on Luca Grego all year, and I was surprised he was only state and not national, so that's the one that comes straight to mind.
I think someone...
And Ollie Hannaford as well. Yeah. His form probably started after the invites were
so I wouldn't... Yeah, I guess that's against him. Should mention Sam Davidson, Richmond VFL. He's going to be that older one with a bunch of younger kids, but exciting to see that he's got that opportunity as well. Okay. Girls on Sunday as well. And it's an interesting list. I think I was more surprised with some that got state that didn't get national. I look at a Jazz Soudan, a Gemma Reynolds.
A Kayla Dalglish as well.
Who, you know, arguably had better seasons than a few in this national list. I think that what we're seeing, the pattern with the girls at the moment, is real athletes.
Yeah.
So that's where I look at this national list and I think, okay, there's probably a few better athletes there. If I had to pick a few that I think need to test well from the national side, Georgia Knight, I think, needs to prove her running capacity can stack up, especially yep. the aerobic side. Can she prove that? Lexi Gregor, we saw bits and pieces of. I just would like to see how well she tests, especially from not so much a running side, but that vertical, that ability yeah. to crash packs, that type of testing. So those are two off the bat for me.
Yeah, for me, I've got three. Grace Bubba, yep. I think this is her time to shine. When people talk about Grace Bubba, if you were to do a word association with Grace Bubba, you'd say athleticism straight yep. away. So I think she needs to show her speed and her agility especially, and hopefully her vertical as well. I think she's a really well-rounded athlete. Grace Ballany has been the bolter of the draft classes we've talked about on multiple occasions. If she can cap her season off with a really strong testing day, then it's going to be hard to pass her up in the top 10. I think Georgie Brisbane's vertical jump will be interesting to watch as well. I think she's one who can be a real dangerous contested marking forward, and I think she can use this as, yeah. I don't want to say a launch pad. Her whole season's been a launch pad, but yeah, similar to Grace Ballany, can really cap off a pretty strong season for herself. And Zoe Basanko will want to test well in the vertical jump as well as an athletic key position player.
Got Sophie Stron and Lucy Thompson as well for Tassie, who are part of the state combines. I think it'd be, you know, good if they test well. Especially both missed a bit of footy during yep. the back end of the year. So testing well for them. You've got likes of Mika Morrissey, who's in that state combine.
Yeah, I was
surprised
she was only
very state. Nifty footballers. I mean, she'll smack them in terms of aerobic, you know,
yep.
the 2Ks. And do they do the beep test? Is that
no.
It's not the beep test. What's
2K.
The they don't do the
yo-yo.
The one, yo-yo.
No.
They don't do that. Because, you know, that's a player I'd look towards in that type of testing. You've got the likes of Sienna Hobbs, Emily Gladman as well. State combines. I feel like there's a lot of good footballers in this state side.
Can't fit so everyone in, unfortunately.
Maybe they're looking for a specific trait to stand out. It'll be really interesting. But we're excited. We are going to be there on the weekend. So we will recap it all next week, or at least when we're allowed to recap it with
all the
results and data. So thank you all for watching. Make sure to check out our socials for a lot of draft content. We've released some really cool graphics. You want to shout out
the Cassie Vandervork, CV Designs. Yep. Yes, she's been really good. So, yeah, telling stories through graphics. Keep an eye out for more of that to come.
And a lot more to come. You've gone out and done a few interviews with some country players. Won't release who, and that'll come out closer to draft time. So make sure to follow our socials for more. We'll be back for another podcast next week. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you next episode.